Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, good morning and welcome to our conference call of BMW AG first quarter 2018. We have here Harald Krüger, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Nicolas Peter, Member of the Board of Management AG in charge of finance. The gentlemen will start by giving you an overview of the development of business, and after that, you'll be given an opportunity to ask your questions. Harald Krüger has the floor.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The first quarter of 2018 continues to build on our successful 2017 financial year, and the BMW Group remains the world's most profitable car company in the world. This underscores our core philosophy. We continue to chart our own course even in a volatile environment. That's our foundation on which we shape future mobility with number one. Next, we've got a clear strategy for that. We have once again set the bar even higher with our goals for the current financial year. We're targeting a slight increase in automotive deliveries and a new all-time high. Group earnings before tax at the same high level as last year, and an EBIT margin in the automotive segment within our target range of 8%-10%. After the first three months, we are right on track. For the first time, we delivered more than 600,000 vehicles in a first quarter. Our BMW MINI and BMW Motorrad brands all achieved new first-quarter sales highs. We made gains in all major market regions, Asia including China, Europe including Germany, and the Americas including the U.S. Our EBIT margin in the automotive segment is at the high end of our target range at 9.7%. At the same time, and we believe this is crucial, we are continuing to invest in our future. We are tackling several key areas at the same time. We will continue to expand the electrification of our portfolio. We will be launching various new models, and we're accelerating our autonomous driving activities. First, a few words about electrification. I've often said e-mobility growth curve is exponential. This is confirmed also by our sales figures for the first quarter compared with the first three months of the last year. Between January and March, we sold over a third more electrified vehicles. Sales of our BMW i-Performance plug-in hybrids are up more than 40%. Our MINI Countryman with plug-in hybrid drivetrain is also in strong demand. In the U.S., demand for BMW i-Performance, and MINI electric vehicles increased by an impressive 78% during this period. I have stated our goal for the full year very clearly. We aim to sell at least 140,000 electrified vehicles this year. Our new models will help us to achieve this. I'm talking, of course, about the BMW i8 Roadster, very emotional car, and the revised BMW i8 Coupé, which will be launched in May. Both come with the fourth generation of the BMW eDrive technology for plug-in hybrids. This enhances significantly their electric range. You already know that we plan to offer 25 electrified models by 2025, 12 of them purely electric. You can already see what lies ahead this year. We will be presenting three all-electric concept vehicles. Our new technology flagship, the BMW iNEXT, the BMW i4 as a four-door coupé, and the first fully electric vehicle of our core brand will be the BMW iX3, which I presented in China this April. All these vehicles will go into serious production over the next few years. The BMW iNEXT combines the key technologies for future mobility. Its innovative design brings these technologies to life. It serves as a modular kit and an innovative enabler for all our future vehicles within the group. We're building the iNEXT and the i4 here in Germany, in Dingolfing and in Munich respectively. On the one hand, we're clearly strengthening relevant technologies for future mobility at our home base in Germany. On the other hand, we're focusing on China, as it is the world's biggest market and a real driving force in e-mobility. Through this, we're sending a strong signal for sustainable mobility in China. From 2020, we will be producing our first fully electric BMW, the iX3, in Shenyang, which will be the start of using purely electric drivetrains within our core brand. The iX3 will be the first to use our fifth-generation electric drivetrains. our customers in China already have 6 electrified models to choose from today. And they also have access to the world's largest network of public charging points. By the end of this year alone, there will be 80,000 ChargeNow charging points in more than 100 cities. We also plan to build pure electric mini vehicles in China in the future. For this reason, we've signed a letter of intent with Great Wall Motor to create a second joint venture in China. And we will continue to work successfully with our joint venture partner BBA, which is now in its 15th year. Now, we'll be adding another local model, the new BMW X3. Starting in the summer, this model will also be produced in China as well as in Spartanburg, in the US and in Rosslyn, South Africa, to meet worldwide high demand. The X3 brings the number of BMW models produced in China to 6. With our local partners, the long-term focus is on creating a win-win situation for everyone. China has signaled plans to eliminate tariffs and to open its auto market further. Global thinking and global acting are what have made the BMW Group successful. Our business approach has always been based on free trade and open markets. Customs duties and trade barriers only divide the world into regions and are not conducive towards global prosperity and worldwide economic development. That is why we will continue to advocate for customs duties to be dismantled. My second point, new models. We're in the middle of phase 2 of our model initiative, where the focus is on luxury and the X family. We earn high margins in this segment. Our initiative will receive a major boost over the coming months from the new BMW X2, the new X4, the BMW X Series Coupe, which launches the 8 Series range with a total of 6 models, model updates to the 3 and 5 door Minis and the Mini Convertible, and the new Rolls-Royce Phantom. Earlier this year, I made it a point to meet with our dealers in the US and China. We showed them our new models for the coming month. The dealers in both countries, ladies and gentlemen, were extremely pleased, and they could hardly wait to have these new models in their showrooms. New products and new technologies go hand in hand with us, and that brings me to my third point, autonomous driving. In April, we officially opened our autonomous driving campus outside Munich. We intend to play a leading role in autonomous driving, and safety remains the absolute priority for us in this technological advancement. Our iNext, which we will launch in 2021, will be fully electric and completely connected. It will not only be partially autonomous, but also completely safe. The iNext will be followed by a whole range of additional highly automated models. For this reason, we're combining all our expertise in vehicle connectivity and automated driving at the new campus. We'll also be introducing new forms of collaboration in a highly flexible working environment designed for quick decision-making. Our new campus is further proof that the customers at the center of all that we do. To build a base of 100 million active customers by 2025, we will need a complete ecosystem that provides an all-round service to fulfill all our customers' demands and needs. To strengthen our mobility services, we're combining our activities in this area with those of Daimler AG. In a planned joint venture, we'll combine both on-demand mobility offerings on an equal footing. Together, we will define the development of services and digitization in our industry. We want to take our customers' experience of premium mobility beyond the vehicle. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we're taking a clear holistic approach towards bringing future mobility into the lives of our customers. And I remain confident that the BMW Group will be in the forefront of these future advancements within our industry and beyond. This is the message I will share with our shareholders at the AGM in 2 weeks' time. And 2018 is set to become another record year. Thank you. That was Mr. Krüger. Thank you. Now over to Dr. Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. BMW Group performed well in the first quarter, fulfilling all our expectations. Our positive operating performance shows our strategy is generating strong results. Group earnings again reached the same high level as last year. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment rose to 9.7% despite higher R&D costs. We are well positioned in our target range of 8 to 10%. segment EBIT is on par with the previous year despite high upfront investments and headwinds from currency and commodity prices. We already announced at the annual accounts press conference that our R&D spending for this year will reach a new record high. We are investing in future projects and expanding our innovation leadership. R&D costs increased by over 100 million euros in the first quarter. As planned, we were able to partially offset this additional expenditure with internal efficiency improvements. However, as already announced in March, we will see a significant increase in costs in the second half of the year. Negative impacts of currency and commodity prices dampened earnings. For the full year, we expect a headwind in the mid to high three-digit million euro range due to various economic and political conditions. As part of the transition to the new IFRS 15 accounting standard, certain comparative figures from the previous year had to be adjusted. You will find more details on this in the current quarterly report. First, let's take a closer look at the group figures. First quarter revenues decreased to 22.69 billion euros. Adjusted for negative currency effects, they were approximately on par with the previous year. Group earnings before tax totaled 3.17 billion euros, which is on par with the high level of the previous year. The EBT margin was 13.9%. The higher financial result reflects the positive earnings contribution of our Chinese joint venture and valuation effects from the acquisition of DriveNow, among other factors. In line with this strong business performance, group net profit rose slightly to 2.3 billion euros. Ladies and gentlemen, we are strengthening our product portfolio this year. This includes renewing and expanding our X family, as well as our product initiative in the luxury segment. When it comes to future technologies, we are also competing in the Champions League. Our newly opened autonomous driving campus and our battery cell competence center underline this commitment. Flexibility is an essential component of this. It is what makes us robust and competitive. As part of our continuing strategic development, we invested almost 130 million euros more in the first quarter than in the same period of 2017, a total investment of around 734 million euros. As a result, the CAPEX ratio rose to 3.2%. For the full year, we expect a ratio of up to 5%. We will therefore continue to remain within our long-term target range. As announced, R&D expenditure also remained at a high level. It totaled 1.27 billion euros for the year to the end of March. Due to high upfront investments in new products and technologies, we expect this figure to reach around 7 billion euros over the course of the year. The R&D ratio currently stands at 5.6%. The figure for the full year 2018 will be between 6.5% and 7%. Let's take a look at the automotive segment. In the first quarter of 2018, global sales performed well, increasing by 3%. The strong euro meant that segment revenues were slightly lower than the previous year. Adjusted for currency effects, revenues were up 1.5%. The segment EBIT of 1.88 billion euros was on par with the previous year, despite higher R&D costs and headwinds from currency and commodity prices. This was offset somewhat by positive effects from volume, mix, market, and efficiency improvements. The financial result once again contributed to the positive pre-tax earnings. Our Chinese joint venture, BBA, increased its earnings contribution to 240 million euros. Sales in the joint venture climbed 20% in the year to the end of March, The X1 and the new 5 Series in particular are highly popular. The valuation effect from the acquisition of DriveNow also had a positive effect. This was offset by a similarly high positive valuation effect from the previous year in connection with new investors acquiring a stake in the mapping service here. Pre-tax earnings amounted to 2.28 billion euros. Ladies and gentlemen, these figures underline that our core business is built on a very solid foundation. At the end of the first quarter, despite a planned significantly higher accumulation of working capital, free cash flow stood at 302 million euros. For the full year, we continue to target a free cash flow of more than 3 billion euros. In the financial services segment, the total portfolio of customer financing contracts reached almost 5 million. In the first quarter, 47.3% of all BMW Group new vehicles were leased or financed by the financial services segment. Almost 452,000 new contracts were concluded with retail customers. The segment's risk situation remained stable. Overall, used car prices are trending downward slightly in international markets, as expected. We place a strong emphasis on proactive risk management. We evaluate our portfolio on a regular basis so that we can make adequate provisions for our business risks at all times. Let's now move on to the motorcycle segment. Almost 36,000 motorcycles were delivered to customers in the first 3 months of 2018. Revenues were 15.5% lower than the previous year at 524 million euros. Due to the ramp-up of new models, including the impact of various model changeovers, total production declined in the first quarter. Consequently, sales to the retail organization, which forms the basis for revenue recognition, also decreased. Currency effects also had a negative impact. As a result, the segment's operating earnings before the first quarter were lower than in the previous year. The EBIT margin was 14.7%. Now the outlook for the full year. As long as political and economic conditions do not deteriorate significantly, we expect positive business development in 2018. We are targeting group earnings before tax at least on par with the high level of the previous year. In late March, BMW AG and Daimler AG signed an agreement to combine their mobility services. If approved by the relevant authorities in the course of this year, the formation of the joint venture will trigger a one-time valuation and earnings effect in the BMW AG's group financial statement and thus lead to an adjustment of the company's guidance. Under these circumstances, pre-tax earnings on group level would increase slightly in 2018 compared with the previous year. In the automotive segment, we anticipate a slight increase in deliveries and revenues for 2018. Despite high upfront investments, we still aim to keep the EBIT margin between 8 and 10%. We now expect a slight increase in deliveries in the motorcycle segment in 2018. Our target for the EBIT margin remains unchanged at between 8 and 10%. In the financial services segment, we expect return on equity to exceed our new target figure of 14%. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group is on course to meet its guidance for the full year. In 2018, we will continue to make important strategic decisions. And as you know, whatever we start is well thought through and we implement it sustainably. In such a volatile environment, our core business delivers the highest level of performance quarter by quarter. This gives us the freedom we need to continue investing in our future. Thank you. Thank Thank you, Mr. Peter. Colleagues, we now have time to take your questions. I'd like to ask colleagues to provide you with the technical details for the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question, push the telephone keys 0 and 1. You will then be given the opportunity to ask your questions in the order received. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker today, please ask your questions by picking up the phone receiver. Thank you, and just a minute for the first question.
Yeah.
First question, Edward Taylor, Reuters. Your line is open. Good morning, gentlemen. Two questions. Can you tell me something about possible depreciation of the leasing portfolio in connection with diesel? Can you quantify it? And second question, Mr. Krüger, over the course of the year, you wanted to give us an update on a possible plant in Russia. Any news on this? Okay, we'll begin with Mr. Krüger, then Mr. Peter. Well, question was about the plant in Russia. We are in ongoing discussions with the province and the government in Kaliningrad and the central government. A decision has not been taken yet, and our plans are making further progress. Decisions haven't been taken yet, and we don't know yet when they will be taken. Mr. Peter, the development on the used car markets in Europe in the first quarter 2018 was more or less as expected. Similar as in 2017, and especially in Germany and in England, we had a declining share of diesel cars. As you know, we systematically make extra provisions, take precautions also in our financial services closing, so we saw no need to take extraordinary measures in the first quarter 2018. We do think we're right on track because we can see that the share of Euro 5 and 4 vehicles in the leasing portfolio decreases month by month. We've practically got no further Euro 4 vehicles in our portfolio, and across all Europe, not just in relation to one market, we are at a two-digit thousand number in Europe as far as the Euro 4 diesels are concerned. Thank you. Next question, please. Stefan Kronig, Börsenzeitung. Your line is open. Hello, I have a question. It's about the investigations in the diesel case and the diesel fraud. How safe is your annual forecast in view of possible fines that might be imposed and which could be quite high? Thank you. I'll pass that to our CFO, Mr. Peter. Well, Mr. Kronig, you already saw this in our annual accounts for 2017. Due to the current situation, we're not able to make a forecast at all relating to this question. This is ongoing investigations. We are cooperating with the authorities, and as soon as there's any news, then we'd inform the public, of course. Thank you. Next question, please. Elisabeth Behrmann, Bloomberg News. Your line is open. Good morning. I have three questions. You mentioned currency effects and commodity prices as headwind this year. Could you provide more details? How much of it is commodity prices? How much of it is currency effects? And which commodities or raw materials specifically create the headwind? And then I'd like to know about the situation with the aluminum manufacturer, Rusal. What was the name again of Rusal, where sanctions have currently been imposed? Well, to be honest, we haven't heard the name before, Rusal. I'm surprised that it doesn't mean anything to you, but whatever. No, I must admit, no issue. Okay, I guess I can speak for everyone here. It's not an issue with us anyway. Now, for the rest of the question, or the first part of the question, I'd like to pass that to Mr. Peter. Well, Mr. Spearman, a rough division between currency effects and raw materials, two-thirds currency, one-third commodity prices or raw materials. And for the raw materials, it's in particular steel and plastics that have a negative impact. Good, thank you. Next question, please. Markus Fasser, Handelsblatt. Your line is open. Good morning, gentlemen. I've got two questions. First question, how long do you still want to continue with your R&D expenses? They're significantly high, 2025. By then, you want to have 12 new electrified models on the market, if I've understood you correctly. This year and next year, these expenses are to remain at a high level and then taper out. How do you want to do this if you continue to launch that many new electrified models? That was my first question. Second question, again, relates to diesel. We've seen the judgment in Leipzig, and after that, the discussion somewhat slowed as far as driving bans are concerned. My question, what's your estimate of the situation? Bans on diesel cars, is that off the table? Is that discussion over, or will that discussion continue? Thank you. Let's begin with Mr. Krüger, then Mr. Peter. Well, Mr. Fasse, on your question, the diesel bans, well, the judgment, if you read that closely, then it's all a question of proportionality, which the court focused on. So in that respect, this is something that cities will then have to decide based on the principle of proportionality, whether they want to introduce such bans or not. I've always said, and the government also says, that driving bans are not the right thing to do. We want to instead promote infrastructure for further electromobility, promote electromobility in generally, and then we have an approach that is definitely more sustainable for Germany and the world. The second point, of course, the quality of the air in the towns and cities over the past few months has improved. So the number of towns that are still relevant for such a ban is decreasing. So with concerted action, we can consistently pursue that path. Thank you, Mr. Peter, on the R&D expenses. Well, Mr. Fasse, the point that you're mentioning, I think it shows quite impressively the operative performance strength of our company. Despite all the expenses in R&D, we are able to establish ourselves in the upper range of our corridor between 8 and 10%. And we're also confirming the guidance for the current year. Why are we also optimistically looking into the future? So once the Generation 5 is in the market, question is whether we can then somehow decrease our R&D expenditure. Well, there's two reasons for this assumption. We'll be launching models that have a strong contribution margin, and X3 has just been launched, X5 is coming towards the end of the year, then early next year the X7, between that there'll be the 8. All of these are products in the upper price segment. And in addition, as already mentioned several times, we're also working on a number of efficiency measures and in particular on the reduction of the complexity in our product portfolio and product offering. And this will have positive effects on R&D, and it will also have positive effects on the entire value chain. Mr. Krüger, you're adding something? Yeah, I'd like to add something. I've already said this on the annual accounts press conference. We've got clear cost benefits changing to Generation 5, and now we've got a modular kit that we can use across all products and product lines. So we'll be benefiting from economies of scales in electromobility. Thank you. Next question, please. Merko Reibka, Plato Brief. Your line is open. Good morning. I've got three questions. The first one, there is a take-back guarantee for diesel vehicles that you're currently using in advertising. Did you have to make extra provisions for that, or how do you calculate it? Do you expect you actually have to pay something? Then back to the diesel. Bosch currently wants to revive this type of drive. They're saying it's possible to do this with fairly little effort. What are your talks with Bosch? Are you convinced of the concept? Will BMW implement the concept? And then, Herr Peter, you pointed out a couple of times already that there's efficiency measures which enable you to offset those high R&D expenses and also the currency effects headwind, or if not offset, at least limit. I wonder what exactly are these savings? Perhaps you can explain that a little. Thank you, Mr. Reibka. Let's begin with Mr. Krüger.
Well, as a starting point, let me say I have a very clear position. I still believe in the diesel technology as a technology for the future. And if you look at our 520 or 530D, if you drive that today, it's one of the best diesels in the world. What Bosch has presented or suggested from my point of view is an interesting approach that we will further pursue, that we will have a look at. But we're not only talking with Bosch. The further development of the technology to us is always an important topic, and also to do this with partners, and there's certainly plenty of potential in this. That's certainly something which we welcome, but we'll have to drill a little deeper and have more discussions, not only with Bosch, also with other companies on how we further develop diesel. But for CO2 2021, 2025, it's clearly, it continues to be relevant. Mr. Peter, please.
Well, Mr. Reibka, back on the first point, the take-back guarantee for the diesel. This is fully included in our forecast for the current year. It's fully taken account of. Another question related to efficiency measures. Let me perhaps give you one core example. When we talk about the reduction of complexity, which will then actually be translated into euros, then we're also talking about the drive portfolio, which is to be adjusted. If you look at a price list today in the European markets, you'll see the 3 Series, for example, then you've got 10 drive variants available to customers, 5 diesel, 5 petrol engines. Now, will we have that in the future as well? Definitely not. But will we still have diesel and petrol cars in our portfolio and offer them? Definitely yes, but perhaps not necessarily 10 of them. Thank you, Mr. Peter. Mrs. Behrmann, if you're still listening, we briefly had that looked up. We do not have any business relationships with Rusal Aluminium, so we have no business relations with them. Next question, please. Irina Preisinger, Reuters. Your line is open.
Good morning. Back on the currency. Mr. Peter, could you explain which currencies these were that created all the headwind? And could you explain your hedging strategy? Has that changed due to the strong euro? And if so, to which extent? The other topic is car sharing. Last week we heard from Daimler that they're expecting a real push after that event. Could you give us your perspective and also quantify that one-time evaluation effect once the joint venture is coming? And then it's also about saving costs. Could you tell us where exactly you want to save those costs? Is that possibly also a reduction of jobs that you're talking about?
Thank you, Mrs. Preisinger. BMW CFO is now really warming up. He has the floor. Well, Mrs. Preisinger, first on the currencies, it's Renminbi and Ruble, which have caused us most of the headwind. Will we change our hedging strategy? No, we will not. We've got a very long-term oriented strategy, which is guided by a long-term balance. This is our currency hedging strategy, and in the past, this has helped us to get through volatile currency situations in a very safe manner. The next question, effects of the cooperation with Daimler. Let me note here, we cannot quantify that yet, simply because we're still waiting for the regulatory approval.
Now, in the event that we were to obtain approval, then of course we would issue a press release right away, but unfortunately we can't do that before. We're quite optimistic that this has or will be a growth driver. So we are not assuming that any jobs will be lost. This is a business that will grow and not a declining one. Thank you, Dr. Peter. Next question, please. Marco Engemann, DPA AFX, your line is open. Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Preisinger also asked about the hedging, but I have yet another question. Revenues, group revenues as a whole have declined slightly, 0.7%. Could you explain why? And then, Mr. Peter, could you tell us how high is the effect on the EBIT, or how high was the currency effect in Q1 on EBIT? You done with your question? Yes, I'm done. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Engemann. Mr. Peter, please. Okay. The first point, why revenues without FX on a group level? I guess you'll see the reason. In the automotive segment, we're slightly positive with 1.5% adjusted for currency effects. And what's the group effect? Well, that is, we had strong growth from the China business, plus 20%. And in our financial results, this is also reflected. Now, effects on the EBIT, let me tell you that much. The effect was a higher two-digit figure in the first quarter. And as I said, for the overall year, we're expecting something in the mid to upper three-digit range. Thank you. Next question, please. Currently, I have no further questions. To remind you, if you'd like to ask a question, please push your keys 0 and 1 on the telephone. One further question by Mirko Reibka, Platobrief. Your line is open. Now, surprisingly, since we've still got some time left, I'd like to get back to my first question and ask more specifically, where is currently the share of these sales compared to the previous year? And this take-back guarantee, if that's already included in your forecast, which provisions are you actually making for it? What's the calculated amount? Thank you, Mrs. Reibka. Over to Mr. Krüger. Well, the diesel issue on a global level. In the comparative period 2017, we had a diesel share of 35%. Globally, that's down to 32%. At the same time, the percentage of electrified increased to 4.2% and the share of petrol cars from 62 to 64%. So that's the global situation. In Europe, it looks like this. Percentage of diesel vehicles has declined from 65 to 60%. Petrol increased from 30 to 35%. And e-cars from 3 to 6%. So there's a shift into e-mobility and petrol engines, which is nice and helps us to achieve our target. Mr. Peter? Well, Mr. Reibka, as we've already said a couple of minutes ago, we've got it all covered. It's reflected in our forecast and in the first quarter, but we are not disclosing any amounts or details. Let me add, Mr. Reibka, we've got positive feedback from our customers about this take-back guarantee, and this has convinced customers to yet again buy a diesel. So these are the first indications. It's too early to specify any figures, but we've had positive feedbacks also from the dealers. Is there another question? Next question, Markus Clausen, Dow Jones. Your line is open. Good morning. Back to currencies and commodities prices. You're saying middle 2 to 3 digit million range of expenses. What were your plans? Was it originally 5 million or 500 million? Is that correct? And then the Great Wall project. How are the talks going? Can you estimate when roughly you will be able to go public with the details, production sites and so on? Let's start with Mr. Krüger, Great Wall, and then Dr. Peter. Well, Mr. Clausen, about Great Wall, we've had the first talks, and the talks are intensifying. They will still go on throughout the year. I wouldn't want to make a forecast now as to when we are done, and there are various aspects that we have to discuss in detail, the technical architecture to start with on the product side, and then later on questions of production site and so on. So this will certainly take a few more weeks or months because we want this to be a successful joint venture. Mr. Peter?
Well, Mr. Clausen, so far, as we also communicated at the annual accounts press conference in March, we expected effects in the mid 3-digit million range. And now I'm saying mid to high 3-digit range. What's important here is to note that this does not change our overall guidance for group EBT and for automotive EBIT. We'll stick to the guidance between 8 and 10%. As an organization, we're just used to dealing with volatile overall conditions. That's the one point. And then on the other hand, only about one-third of the year is over yet. So we'll have to see how the next months develop. Thank you. I'm being told there's one further question.
Edward Taylor, Reuters. Your line is open.
Thank you for giving me the floor again. I've got a question about regulatory in China. The Chinese signaled that they wanted or they might take over the, that is possible by the joint venture partner in future. Now, is that, does that make a difference with respect to your considerations about joint ventures with Brilliance and Great Wall? And the second question, just to understand this properly, diesel percentage has decreased in Europe. Was that the figure end of March, or when was that?
Well, I'll start. Diesel, that was end of March. That was the figure I gave you. That was the comparison of the quarters, March 2017, Q1 17 versus Q1 2018. Then on the discussions and the joint venture shares, Brilliance, Great Wall, well, with Brilliance, we're connected by or have been in a positive partnership for 15 years, which we want to further develop. These partnerships are not only based on financial topics, it's also technology. And the same goes for Great Wall. We haven't finalized the joint venture yet. We've signed a letter of intent. We are having good and fruitful discussions. And we want to take both into a positive further development. And we are optimistic that the chances of the Chinese market for MINI and for BMW in terms of electrification will be beneficial to us. And we will position ourselves there. Well, I wanted to know, do you still need a joint venture partner for business in China?
Well, Mr. Taylor, what I can tell you is it's much too early to give an estimate here. Krüger, in fact, already gave the necessary answer. But back to Brilliance, let me add this positive partnership. We will celebrate the 15 years in the fall of this year, and we will also invite you to come to Shenyang to these celebrations.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, thank you so much for your time today. And I hope you'll have a nice day with not too much work. Thank you and see you soon.